If you have your Bible with you here this morning, if you can take it and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 2 through 6 here in just a moment. We've been looking through this summer disciplines in our life, and we're going to look today about the discipline of prayer, and not just for prayer, but specifically in praying for the gospel. Prayer is an essential part of our Christian life. As a church, we have said that one of the things that we value is prayer, and we want to be a praying church. And even as young children, we learn the value of prayer, and we learn how to speak and to talk to God. And sometimes as children, we pray things like this. Dear God, thank you for my little brother, even though I prayed for a puppy. Dear God, I love Christmas and Easter, but could you please put another holiday in the middle? There's nothing good there right now. Dear God, my grandpa says that you were around when he was a little boy. Wow, exactly how far back do you go? Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do I have to thank him for those too? Dear God, we read that Thomas Edison made light, but on Sunday school they said that you did it. I bet he stole your idea. Dear God, please take care of my daddy and my mommy and my sister and my brother and my dog and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself. God, if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. That's absolutely true. See, we cannot be a praying church if we don't have praying members. We need to be praying people. We need to make prayer a priority, to commit ourselves to prayer. See, people, the church, we like to complain about the lack of prayer in school and the fact that we've taken prayer out of school, but really we probably should be more concerned with the lack of prayer in our church, the lack of prayer among God's people, than we should be in the fact that there's not prayer in other places. See, because nothing can keep us from praying. There's no law that can be passed that can keep you from praying. There's nothing that can be done to keep us from praying. The issue is that we have quit praying. We need to have a real, dedicated, active prayer life. And this morning, we're going to specifically talk about that in the context of praying for the gospel. Let's read together Colossians chapter 4. Verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so you will know how you should respond to each person. As we look at the idea of prayer, we should be active in prayer. Prayer should be something we do with our eyes wide open. One of the things that I love about prayer walking is it teaches us to pray with our eyes open. If you've never been on a prayer walk, you walk through a community and you look around. And as you're looking around, you're seeing things that you can pray for. You walk by a house and there's a bicycle or kids' stuff in the yard and you pray for the children. You walk past a school and you pray for the teachers and the principals and the kids in that school. When I was prayer walking through Evansville a couple weeks ago, there was several police cars around the house, and there was a car there, and I was praying for the police officers and praying for that situation. You pray with your eyes wide open when you prayer walk. You look around, and you allow God to spark some things in your heart and in your mind, and you pray specifically for those things. And this is not just a good discipline in prayer walking. This should be something that we do in all aspects of our prayer, paying attention to what's happening around us. And we see things happening around us and things that we don't like, instead of being angry, they should spark us to prayer. Or we see things happening around us, and instead of saying, hey, I agree with that, that pleases me, maybe that should spark us to prayer. Or maybe we see things, instead of being indifferent to the world around us, we should see things and say, how do I pray for my involvement? How do I pray for God's work through these things? To be intentional in our prayer. Praying with our eyes wide open means that we also seek to be the answer to prayer. As we're praying, we're asking God, as I see these things, how can you use me in these situations? It means that we're paying attention. We're paying attention to how God is working, and we're seeing that God is doing things, and we don't get caught up in our circumstances. And sometimes we do that. We get so caught up in the things in our own life that we miss the fact that God's working right next to us. God is doing something, and we don't even notice it. And then we complain. We gripe at God and say, God, why are you not doing this? God, why are you not answering my prayer? God, why aren't you working? And God's like working all around us. And we're just not paying attention because we don't have our eyes open. So how do we recognize God's work? And how do we understand how to join him? And how should we pray for our world? And how do we care and pray for those that we know that don't know Jesus? Well, Paul says in this passage, he says, we need to be devoted to prayer. This word means that we need to continue into something, steadfast attention, to persevere, to hold fast, and to not let go. You know, often in life, we are busy. And we're so busy doing so many different things, and sometimes we just let prayer kind of go by the wayside because we're so busy doing that we don't pray. We need to be people who are busy, but busy in prayer, busy praying, persistent in our prayer life. It should become a habit in our lives that in all things that we do, that we pray and we just can't quit. I really believe that one of the most important things that we can do as believers is that we can pray. So part of being devoted to prayer means that we need to be alert, to be awakened and watchful and vigilant. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Has anyone ever fallen asleep while you were praying? I was in a pastor's meeting here several years ago, and this particular group of pastors, they were talking about the fact that we need to spend more time in praying. And so we spent time going around the circle praying, and about halfway through, there was a loud snore coming from one of the pastors sitting at the table. He had fallen asleep in prayer. I guess you can look at that one of two ways. You can say, hey, I fell asleep praying. Or you can say, you know, the last thing I do before I sleep, I pray. See, I guess you can look at that either way. Maybe bedtime isn't the best time for us to do our prayer time. C.S. Lewis says, no one in his senses, if he has any power of ordinance of his own day, would reserve the chief prayer for bedtime, obviously the worst possible hour of any action which needs concentration. So devoted, alert prayer. See, what this isn't just sneaking in prayers here and there. We find a moment and we sneak in a prayer when it's convenient. We find a moment when it's easy and we say a prayer. That's not really a commitment. That's not really being devoted. Paul says, hey, look, you need to be devoted to prayer. You need to be alert in your prayer. You need to be watchful and alert in your prayer. And you need to watch over each other with prayer. We need to spend time praying for each other, praying for the people around you, praying, being alert for opportunities that affect your witness and your ministry. This means that we have to have a time where prayer becomes an essential, active part of our day. So while we drive, we pray. While you work, you pray. While you shower, you pray. While you do the dishes, you pray. And you slowly add more and more prayer to your day. See, and in my life, my prayer life was an area where I struggled for a lot of years. I'm the person that when I sit down to just pray, I'm the guy that my mind wanders. I start thinking of other things, and I'll be praying, and I'm like, my mind goes someplace else, and I'm like, oh, sorry, God, okay, back to my prayer. And I do that. And I struggled with that. And then I realize this value of praying without ceasing, the value of as I go through life, I pray. And it greatly enhanced my prayer life, that it was more than just spending a half an hour just sitting, even though I do think our quiet time is important, but it becomes an active part of our conversation every day with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Too often, our response to prayer is very flippant. I'll pray for you. And then we just go on and we do something else, and there's nothing real behind it. But we need a sincere prayer. I will pray for you. And then not only will I send me a prayer for you, I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to be alert to opportunities, how God is working. And maybe, just maybe, as I say that I'll pray for you, I can be a part of the answer to that prayer for you. But we also need to have a thankful prayer life. It says, pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. This is the seventh time here in Colossians that Paul uses that word thankfulness, thanksgiving. It's an essential part of our prayer life. We can keep our prayer life fresh and alive if we're thankful. And sometimes we go through life and we say, well, do I have a lot to be thankful for? And we struggle through things and we look at the bad things that are happening. And I remind you that as Paul writes this and as Paul continues to be thankful, where was he writing this from? He was writing this from prison. He was writing this when he was under arrest. He was sitting here and he says, in this time, be thankful. And if Paul could be thankful in prison, we can be thankful in times as we remember our prayer. What a great lesson for us. See, our circumstances in life do not have to dictate our prayer life. Our circumstances in life do not have to dictate our thankfulness. Our God is good and we are thankful for him. We also see the importance in being humble in our prayer life. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear the way I ought to speak. See, I wonder if one of the reasons that we have such a struggle being thankful is because we have a struggle trusting God. When we really can trust God, we can recognize that we have a lot to be thankful. See, I can be thankful in prayer because I do trust him. And I believe that his answers are the best. And in fact, when I don't have any answers and I don't have any idea what's going on, I know that God is still in control and God holds those things and I can trust him. I've shared this with people and some people tell me that my view is too simple. It's too simple to say that you just trust God. And so I thought about that and I said, okay, what are my choices? I trust God or I trust me. I trust God or I trust my government. I trust God or I trust other people. That seems like a no-brainer to me who I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust the one who created all things or I'm going to trust someone who's created. I'm going to trust the one who is perfect or I'm going to trust something that is imperfect. Why is that even a question? We're thankful as we trust in who he is. I trust the God of the universe. And so that thankfulness in our prayer life, then that can lead to more thankfulness. And as we pray and as we are thankful for what God is doing, it leads to more thankfulness. We become more secure and more trusting in who he is. And then Paul says here, look, as you're praying and you're praying in thankfulness, you pray that the mysteries of Christ may be revealed. One of Paul's purposes for writing Colossians was there was a heresy going on and they were discussing and arguing over who the person of Christ was. There was confusion about Jesus and his teachings. And there was a strong emphasis on knowledge. The smarter you are, and you just gain this knowledge. And there was a diminishing impact, diminishing effort placed on the person of Jesus. And there was more attention being placed on traditions and the rituals of the Jewish life and a focus on angels. And there was a great deal of elitism. People thought they were superior. And yet all these things were going on in the Colossian church here. And Paul says, look, I want to pray that people can know the mysteries, the truth of the gospel. Paul says, pray that I can share the truth. See, today there's a lot of false teachings about Jesus. And there's a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus because they've been told false things about Jesus. And the Jesus they don't believe in, I don't really believe in that Jesus either. And we need to have the opportunity to tell people about the true God, the true Jesus. You hear people say, you know, hey, Jesus was just a good person. He wasn't just a good person. And Jesus was a great teacher, but he wasn't just a great teacher. Jesus was an idea to be followed. He's more than an idea to be followed. You know, Jesus was a great prophet. He's more than a great prophet. Jesus is Savior. And we need to take the message of the gospel and to share that, looking for opportunities to share God's truth. Praying for opportunities to do real ministry, to have a real impact on people, to have a real, real impact on our ministry. So as we look at this message and as we continue on, think about doors that are open for us to do real ministry. During the times that we live in, what are the doors open for us to really be God's hands and his feet to truly, truly do ministry? So we need to have a prayer that is focused on others. So Paul is in prison and he writes here and he says, pray that I can make known the mysteries to others. Pray for me as I share the gospel. There are a lot of things that Paul could have asked for prayer for. Could you pray for me? I'm in prison. Can you pray for my comfort? Could you pray that I get adequate food and water? Could you pray that I be released? But that's not what he asked for. He prays and he asks for opportunity to share the gospel. He would rather have the doors open for the gospel to be spread than the doors open for his own jail cell to be open and for him to walk out. And God answered Paul's prayer. And God's going to answer our prayer as well. I find it interesting that Paul, why is he in prison? He's in prison for sharing the gospel. He's in prison for telling people about Jesus. And his prayer is, hey, can you pray for me so I can go do the very thing that got me put in prison in the first place? That's what I want to go do. 2 Timothy 2:9 says, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not in prison. Paul cared more about the gospel than he did his own well-being. And he tells us to go do that. And I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure the church in America cares more about the gospel than its own well-being. I find this true in conversations that I have, and I find this true as I hear people pray. I've been in meetings where I've heard people say the gospel above all else, and then the meeting goes on and we never talk about the gospel. We talk about everything else. The gospel above all else, except that we have all these things that are more important to the gospel. See, we need to pray for the gospel to be shared. And we need to find ways to share it as a church. We are investing a lot of money in a building across the street. As a church, we are investing a lot of time in a building across the street. And if we are not praying that that building is used for the gospel, to spread the love of Jesus, to share with people the truth of salvation, we are wasting a whole lot of time and we are wasting a whole lot of money. We take up an offering every Sunday and you give to the church and we give to the church to do ministry. And if we are not a church who's doing ministry, if we're not a church who's pointing people to Jesus, then we are wasting God's money. We need to be praying that God makes us people who see his vision, who follow him and share his truth. But it starts with the prayer, lifting our voices and asking God to give us wisdom. So we need to have an evangelistic prayer. Let's look at verses 5 and 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. We need to ask God for wisdom. Paul says, act, pray in how you act towards outsiders. And this word here means to those that are outside the church, those that are non-believers, non-Christians. Pray for them. Pray in a way that they will know the truth and know about faith. In other words, he's saying, look, you need to live a life where the things that you say match what you do. Your walk matches your talk. And fair or not, people are going to judge you by what you do. They're going to judge you not just by what you say, by what you do. Have you ever heard the saying that you're the only translation of the Bible that some will ever read? Well, there are good translations of Scripture. There are bad translations of Scripture. There are Bibles you can pick up that are really good, and there's some that aren't really good. And friends, some of us are good translations of Scripture, and the world sees us, and friends, some of us are not so much. Some of us are bad translations of Scripture, and people are looking at your lives, and they're looking and they're saying, why do I want to be like that? Why do I want to be like that? In Ephesians 5:15, it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Living wisely, living a life that is attractive for people to hear the gospel. Look, we don't change the gospel. The gospel is true. We don't take God's word and we change it, but we need to find ways to be attractive. We need to find ways to introduce it to people in a real, relevant way. I started doing youth ministry 20-some million years ago, I don't know. And as I did youth ministry, if I did youth ministry the same way 20 years ago as I did a year ago, I would become irrelevant because things change. 7 months ago, for some reason, you called me to be the pastor of your church, and if I pastored this church the way I did youth ministry, it wouldn't work. It would be irrelevant. It wouldn't work. We need to be attractive. We need to find ways to do real ministry and to change the ways that we do things while still presenting the truth of the gospel. Our reputation is so important. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I really don't think I want to be a Christian because I don't want to live like so-and-so? You'd be surprised the number of conversations that I've had with non-believers, and one of their biggest hang-ups to being a Christian is that they know Christians. They know somebody who claims to be a follower of Christ and aren't living that way. They treated them poorly. And so if we're going to truly pray for a spreading of the gospel, then we have to be careful in what we say and be careful in what we do. This means that we have to live a godly and upright life, being a person of good reputation, treating people with courtesy and respect, apologizing when we're wrong, and loving other people. So as we look at interacting with people, maybe this idea of wisdom is something we need to be more careful about as we're having a conversation before we respond to somebody, maybe a prayer for wisdom. Maybe as we're having a discussion on social media before you hit send on your response, maybe you should pray and ask the question, is my response going to draw somebody to Jesus or is it going to push them away from Jesus? Asking for wisdom. In verse 5, it says to make the most of every opportunity. This means to redeem time, to buy up time. Time is such an important thing. Time is something that we can use and we can waste, and there are a lot of different ways to look at time. Shopping. A couple ways you can shop. We have my wife's way of shopping, and we have my way of shopping. You see, my wife, she'll go shopping, and when she goes in, she'll start going through the aisles, and she'll stop, and she'll see something, and she'll read all the labels to see what's in it, because I guess that's important. And then she'll look at those things and decide to buy it, and then she'll realize she forgot something in the back of the store, so she'll go to the back of the store, even though we're at the front of the store, and she'll get something, and then she makes her way back, and she remembers three things that aren't on her list, and she gets those, and we spend all kinds of time in the store. And then there's me. I make a list. I walk in. I buy stuff on a list. I start in the back. I work my way to the front. I go to the checkout, and I leave. All right? Time is important. Now, maybe in shopping, we have all kinds of time. But, you know, and when it comes to the gospel, you know, maybe not so much. There are people that are living and dying every day without knowing Jesus. And we need to take the time, make the most of the time, acting like time is a commodity that is precious as we share the truth of Jesus. In Psalm 90, it says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Limited time and using it wisely. And then we need to have this prayer of compassion. It says in this passage, conduct yourselves towards outsiders. But it says that we should have a speech that is full of grace, as though seasoned with salt. We need to be full of grace. The words that come out of our mouth need to be purposeful, edifying, loving, thoughtful, and kind. And then it says seasoned with salt. We need to be a preservative against the corruption that is around us. Our words need to be seasoned with salt and wholesome and attractive and guards against corruption and be attractive and appealing to others. In Ephesians 4:29, we see something similar. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. So when the opportunity comes to share the gospel, let our words, let our speech be seasoned with salt, that we'll know the right things to say at the right time. In 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. There are many Christians, there are many church people who have no idea how to share the gospel. They have no idea how to share their faith. No idea how to tell somebody how to come into a relationship with Christ. I've been in situations where I've been at camps and places, and people will tell me, hey, so-and-so is asking a question about salvation. Can you go visit with them? And I will, but my thought is, can you visit with them? Because you have a hope that is in you. Pray for the opportunity and pray for the wisdom. I'll promise you something. If you share the gospel and you are sincere and you're sharing the hope of Jesus, you cannot mess it up. You can't mess it up because nobody is saved by what we do. They're saved by what God does. God's asking us to be willing servants to share with him. Let's share the truth. So in our conduct, in our speech, let's point people to Jesus. See, one of the biggest problems in American modern church is that we care more about God bless America than we care about people coming to know Jesus. Our heart should be breaking for those who don't know Jesus. Verse 5, make the most of the opportunity. Make the most of the opportunity. That requires a different focus. It requires a different way to live. It requires us to have a different heart. And it requires us to come and to lay our hearts and our lives before our Savior and say, God, use me. So this morning, I'm going to challenge you to pray. Pray for the gospel. Pray that God will reveal himself to those who don't know him. Pray for the Holy Spirit to work in the lives of people and to bring conviction of sin. Pray for opportunities for the gospel to be shared. And then pray for opportunities for other people to share the gospel as well. Not instead of you, but pray that you share the gospel and others share the gospel as well. Pray that God will open the eyes of those around us to the truth of his word. And pray that their hearts will respond to that truth. And pray that those that we love, those in our world, will come to the knowledge of Jesus as Savior. Pray for the gospel. That is our challenge this morning as we come to a time of invitation. As our praise team comes and we come to a time of decision, let me invite you to respond to what you've heard this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to talk to God and say, God, I really need a focused prayer life. Lord, there are so many things that become important to me, and God, I've lost the focus of sharing the truth of Jesus. Maybe this morning, ask God that maybe there's people in your lives today. There's somebody that you know that's not a believer, and you need to share with them. Commit to pray for them. Now, there are people in my life that I've shared with a whole lot, and I've come to the point where there's nothing more than I can do but pray. But I've got to commit to pray for them. Maybe this morning you're going to commit that I'm going to spend time every single day praying for somebody to come to know Jesus. Maybe God's doing something else in your life, but this is your opportunity to respond.
Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Pray for the saints scattered everywhere. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me that I might speak, that I might speak fearlessly. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Pray for the saints scattered everywhere. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me that I might speak, that I might speak fearlessly.